basically when I go to Trader Joe's in my crop top in the summer.
Yep.
I'm hoping to get some action.
First and foremost, my balls.
Maybe take in a Broadway show. I could take you to Rent.
If my dick was 1 inch bigger, I could be Bobby Flay.
Hello and welcome. We're back. From theballerlifestyle.com, this is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. I am the host of the program. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. I have written down here episode 176, and I'm almost certain that's wrong. I think this is episode 175. Could you tell me? Do you guys know? I'm 100% sure. Yeah, it is. Episode 175 of the program. Thank you very much for joining the show. Thank you for being a part of what we do here. Very big show. Gonna get right into it. Joining me now, as is always the case, is our very own Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Now, without getting into too much math, 175 divided by once a week. We took a couple weeks off each year. Like,
yeah.
We've been doing this for 19 years? Sounds about right.
At least. It's our kids are in college.
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing this.
That's a lot of fucking episodes.
Yes, it is.
I just wanted to point out our boy John McEnroe. He's in the news lately.
Yes.
And he's taken a pounding. And I think people, you know, they hate context. But he was specifically asked if she was the best, if Serena was the best tennis player ever.
Right.
And he said, look, she'd be like the, what do you say, 700th
right.
tennis player. Like, he was asked a specific question, how she would compare to the men's, and he gave an honest answer. He didn't say, and in that same interview, he said, I'd be 1,200th or something. Like, he said she would beat him.
Yes.
And I read, like, you know, from, I love the Washington Post, but, like, Sally Jenkins wrote the hot take, like, John McEnroe, you know, is Bobby Riggs. And, like, he didn't brag. I mean, he's 20 years, 25 years out of his career.
No, he was asked a question and he gave an honest answer.
And I love that he took heat. Then he went on a show and they're like, hey, you care to retract? And he's like, no. And then I saw somebody put a clip of Serena on Letterman. And she said, if I had to go against, Andy Murray, the British or Scottish dude? And she said, it would be 6-0, 6-0.
Yeah.
And McEnroe in that same interview said, you know, to compare her versus men is minimizing her accomplishments. And she's by far the best women's tennis player ever. But, like, why can't we have this? Why can't we just be okay with, you know, the women doing this? Like, women and men have different skill sets. And Serena, in an interview, acknowledged that, like, Federer and all these guys, like, it's a much faster game. And that's fine. But, like, they're trying to turn McEnroe into Bobby Riggs, and he's not. He's just being honest.
No, I think that anybody with any kind of anything more than just a quick knee-jerk reaction or any kind of, like, information on the air quotes controversy here would see this for exactly what it is. He was asked a question. He answered honestly. Also, by the way, probably favored Serena a little bit in his answer. I bet number 701 through number 1214 could probably take her because it's a different game. She's a woman. They're men. Men and women are different. They play a different game that we shouldn't
right.
be comparing them to each other.
And I'm not, you watch more tennis than me,
of course,
but when I've watched tennis,
big tennis
game. I enjoy women's more than men's.
Yeah, there's more. There's definitely more back and forth in the women's game. Plus, you know, sometimes they're kind of hot.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, she's the best women's athlete of our lifetime by far.
She dominates. Yeah, she dominates.
And like he said, that minimizes like how she'd compare against the men. Like, just let her be awesome for what she is. Like, that's. It's not saying like she's shitty. She's great. She's just a woman in a different sport. It's almost like a different sport.
Yes, I think there is somewhere a ranking of like all tennis players where they're all ranked together, men and women. And I've heard this before. I've heard that there exists like, I don't know, the ATP does it, but there's a top to bottom list of all the best at any given time.
I wonder how they compare that. Like, what is that?
I don't know. I could be making that up, but I did hear that somewhere. But it's a stupid argument. And I think McEnroe has a book coming out. His last book was fantastic, by the way. Anybody hasn't read
it. But I just love that he was given an opportunity to be a pussy, and he's like, No,
because he's being honest. That's why he's great. Right. Hold on, I have to cough. No, that's
you,
what's...
You
that's
going
what's,
full Adam Carolla news girl?
Wow, how dare you. How dare you. Has anybody else noticed that, by the way? Have you noticed it now? Now that I've pointed it out to you?
Yeah, I noticed after you pointed it out, because it happened like the next day.
Yeah, because it happens on every show, and it happens a bunch of times on every show. And I don't understand how I know that, and no one else
I never thought about it until you pointed it out. Day I heard it.
So I'll be honest. I don't listen that closely. Like, that's not one of the shows that I really like pay close attention to, but I do put it on when it's...
Well, you know, I'm a 1.5 times guy. I don't pay attention to anything closely.
That's right.
Nothing.
1.5 speed. You can't catch all the coughs. So I didn't originally notice the coughing myself because I don't listen that closely. It's not, you know what it is? It's not a headphone show for me. I have it on in my office, and I have it on like an adjacent computer. So it's not like directly playing at me. It's just like noise in the room. So I don't listen that closely, but somebody pointed it out to me. And now I hear it every single time. It's all I hear on the show. Like, I won't even be listening to conversation, and I'll hear her right directly into the microphone, like during an interview. What is that?
Yeah, not good.
Cough away from the microphone. It is a couple things we need to talk about.
Okay.
First and foremost, my balls. It is extremely... We're in a heat wave here in Southern California. I won't say extremely hot, but it is warm. And so I've got the studio wide open here. We did some... Spoiler alert, guys. We did some podcasting last night.
Yeah.
And I had the AC on, but I can't have the AC blowing during the show because you can hear it in the mics. So it got very hot. I turned off the AC. I cooled the house down, and I turned off the AC before we started recording. And then it got very hot during the show. I got very sweaty. And so just as I was about to record this show today, I don't have the AC on, but I got the windows and doors open here in the studio. I went upstairs, and I rarely do this. I went upstairs and did a pre-show powder.
Ooh.
I got some of that Gold Bond talc, and I dabbed it all around my ball sack and underneath, that area underneath, the taint. Got it all in there, got the inner thighs, got things really dried out and fresh for the show because it is so hot. But Ed, we should tell people, show news, breaking show news. Ed is about to bounce for his yearly sojourn to the cooler climes.
Well, let me point this out because I just... I was looking at the 2-week forecast.
Oh no. On your customized weather app, your special weather app?
It's the Weather Channel app. Oh, that's yeah, that's what channel. It is. It's fun. Yes. Uh-huh. But anyway, I was like, all right, so I'm leaving less than 2 weeks. Because I'm going to Madrid for a few days before I go to London. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, how is it? Well, today it was a high of 78. I was like, okay, because as we know, Euros don't do air conditioning.
No.
And then I'm just scrolling. Okay, so we're going 2 weeks. So day 10, it's up to 83, 84. Scrolling. The day I get to Madrid, high of 102.
Wow, Fahrenheit.
And if it's Celsius, then I might actually be food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, no one knows that, Ed. Yeah, go on. Well, no one knows Celsius.
Celsius is like 25 or 30, and you're like, oh, my God, that's brutal.
No, but anyway, I live with a Celsius person. I know how it goes.
But anyway, like, this might be one of my final podcasts, because if it's 102 without air conditioning, that might be all for me.
Yeah, because you're going to pack all your jeans and sweatshirts.
What?
All of your, like, normal outfits, and you're going to get there, and it's going to be cooking hot. You're going to have to get warm weather clothing.
I'm not okay with this, just like I'm not okay with every other day Brian sends me pictures of snakes.
I'm not okay
with those either.
This fancy sauce, I think she saw on Facebook or something, a friend of hers in Bali had a snake in her pool. What did you think about that?
Not okay. And guess what? Yeah. I will have a nightmare about that today.
That thing was massive.
I've had like three nightmares based on your pictures that you've sent me.
So assume that's the shallow end of the pool. And the shallow end is about 4 feet deep. It's climbing out of the pool.
Yeah, that's 3.5 feet too long for anything.
So 4 feet of it is on the wall of the pool, and then probably another foot and a half, 2 feet of it are out of the pool, and then another 2 feet of it are on the
Jesus. What kind of snake is that?
Bottom of the pool.
You being an expert, like, is that dangerous?
I don't know. I asked.
It's a lot of snake.
Well, it's in Indonesia. So they're probably all dangerous there. And I ask Fancy, I go, hey, what kind of snake do you think that is? And she goes, I don't know, a cobra? She thought it might be a cobra. I couldn't tell if it was a cobra because it didn't have the head flared out. But it did kind of look like that snake on that video I sent you last week. Where the snake was actually trying to break into someone's home. It looked a lot like that snake. So it could have been a cobra.
You know what I do? You mentioned maybe last week or the week before, you said my views on snakes are kind of your views on rats.
Yeah.
How many rat videos or pictures have I sent you since then? Zero.
Zero, yeah. Yes.
But you are fueling the nightmares.
Well, I just thought it was really cool. I mean, it was...
You're a monster. You are a monster.
When do you see something quite like that? So... to continue.
Okay.
We've digressed here. So we did some casting last night. We got together and casted. And a preview, guys, we recorded yet another one of our infamous movie reviews. Because Ed's going to be out of pocket. So Ed, you're gone. Like, I'm going to run this movie review next week, right? Because we're not going to be able to do a show next week.
No, we can do next week.
Oh, we can? It's the 4th of July.
I mean, are you going to like hold hands and watch the fireworks?
No.
I'm around.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, we'll figure it out. I might just put it up. I might just like, cause it's
no,
so
because
good.
It's great, but yeah. let's do one, knock one more out.
Okay.
And then, and then I'm not around.
I don't know. Cause it feels kind of stale if I let it sit too long. So I might.
Because that movie's going to get stale over the next week.
So guys, we reviewed. Last night we got together, and I'm not done editing it yet, but we got together and we reviewed 1985.
And you're worried about it getting stale.
Boxing classic. Rocky IV. Here with yours truly, of course, the great Ed Daly, and additionally in the house, well, via Skype. And his Skype connection. There's a lot of high degree of difficulty with this process. So, because this is a three location Skype podcast. So,
this guy always brings the heat.
He always brings the heat, but he always brings the technical difficulties as well.
I mean, he likes Bing. He likes Bing.
He likes Bing. He uses Microsoft products. I don't know. He can't seem to get a mic to work, even though he works in radio. So we had with us, of course, Jason Stewart, the great thespian. We can't really talk about movies without having an industry insider like Jason Stewart with us. So he joined us.
Guys shared scenes with Lou Diamond. So
Gina Gershon.
Yeah. We can't speak without him, but
Meadow Soprano. He had a scene with Meadow Soprano.
Did we do that on our thing? I don't know if I ever saw that scene.
Yeah, because we did, but it was just like him going like this. Yvonne, just one more.
Watch this. Don't have to worry about the line. Hey, boys, have fun. Hey, sweetheart.
He's like a reporter. I mean, I'm surprised he wasn't nominated for an award. For a lifetime award, an Emmy.
Right.
But yeah, he did a scene with Meadow Soprano. So we had Jason Stewart. Then additionally, a lot of people hit me up to have this guy on, and we got him last night, and he does not disappoint. Travis Rogers joined us.
He was great, and he had thoughts.
He had a lot of opinions.
He was coming, and he was coming in hot.
And he closed the show by announcing that there's another movie that he wants to review on the Baller Lifestyle podcast. So I'm always hitting him up to do these things, and he's like hemming and hawing. I mean, the guy lives literally 10 minutes away from our studios here. He could easily make it over, and I'm not privy to his schedule, but he works, from what I can tell, about one day a week. So he's got time is what I'm saying. He can work it into a schedule. But he announced last night what our next movie needs to be, and he's volunteered to appear. He wants to discuss another classic movie with us, so we're going to book him for that. So look for that coming up. If not next week, I'll figure out what to do. But it's coming soon. The Rocky IV. I don't even think we said that. Rocky IV podcast featuring special guests Jason Stewart and Travis Rogers. So look for that coming up soon. Maybe I'll post a snippet of it to our Patreon page. Just to give a little extra, a little early bit to the guys that support us the most. The Patreon subscribers can get just a little piece of that show first.
And I'll give you a teaser. Yeah. We were delightful.
Oh, we're so good. We're so good. I'll admit I'm the least good at those, because I have to like say what's happening. Like I have to talk the whole time, and it's you guys really come in and pick me up. Everybody had some fucking just great one-liners last night. It was really, really funny. So
here's the problem with remote locations. When it's you and me, we just go back and forth. When there's four guys, it's like you just kind of butt in because you're not sure.
Yeah.
Like when you're with somebody in a conversation, you can kind of feel when you're supposed to talk.
And you can see them.
When you're in fucking New Jersey, like you just kind of just blurt out
stuff. Yell it out. Just yell it out. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So guys, look for that coming up soon. Anything else you need to get to?
No. I think we've got a very important voicemail to get to.
Oh, we do. I was gonna save that. I was gonna save that for the fancy sauce.
All right, save it for fancy. Save it
because I think we need her to weigh in on that, because it is a very, very interesting topic, and
it's important.
Really could become one of the top voicemails. So look for that towards the end of the show. We do. You did tell me that you got somebody reached out to you via Facebook Messenger to hit you up. For good man. Daily's Joe's.
My last week, what did I say? Hit me up in different ways, just not on my page.
That's right. Because last week we learned that not only do you despise interpersonal interactions.
You also don't care for
online.
You're painting me into Ebenezer Scrooge territory. It's not that. I mean... I'm at least 90% less interesting in real life than on the show, and I can't imagine I'm that interesting. But I'm not like a monster, but like all I was saying is like Facebook, I'm in this weird territory where like I have like random aunts and people that like to react to things that are on my page. And I was just saying, please don't post that. Like it's it's just a weird conversation. Like, I had a conversation at a wedding recently where somebody posted, like, essentially a erect penis on my page. And I was like, yeah, well, I've got some people. And they're like, well, what, why? And I was like, well, there's, you know, there are people that they're like, well, who are they? These are your friends? And I was like, well, like, yeah, I mean, everybody's my friend in some way. And they're like, but what? And it's like, do I need to explain a podcast to my aunt on why I have an erection? Like, that's all I was getting at. But like, no, I'm happy. And like, it is amazing what information people can come at us with. Like, really, we're getting about three teacher fuckings a day at this point.
Also, aren't the teachers that are fucking the students, are they just, is it just me, or are they getting hotter?
They're improving. They're Hollywood quality now. So crazy. I love all of the stories people send us. I was just saying, like, there's one place to get in touch with me that maybe you wanted, if it would be possible to be more discreet. But I don't
post directly to your wall.
I always accept the information because everybody's coming with good stuff.
No, yeah, it helps. That way we don't, because we like talking about different stuff, and we like talking about the stuff you guys love hearing about. So
love it.
We appreciate that. Okay, well, this guy, I do like that people are hitting you up privately. They're like, hey, whose dick would you rather check out? Like, it doesn't even need to be on the show. They're like, hey, I was thinking about these two guys' dicks. Who do you?
You know, on my high school graduation, I was like, you know, they give you that stupid copy of the places you'll go, and you're wondering where life will take you. And it's like, yeah, when I'm 41 years old, I would like somebody to send me messages asking whose dick would be more appealing to me.
It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. Okay, so here we have a Daily's Choice sent to Ed Daily. Let's hear it.
It's a choice I made. Daily's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
For those of you that may be new to the program, this game is very simple. Ed steps into the men's room. There are three urinals. The middle one is available. He steps up to the middle one. He realizes that to his left and his right stand known people. He only has a moment to glance at one of their penises. Which one does he check out? What is Daily's Choice?
Daily's Choice. It's a choice I made. Daily's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
Amazing. Okay, so this one comes from great supporter of the program, Steve Beninga. Steve Beninga wants to know, Ed, Peter Dinklage, he of Game of Thrones fame, he, a guy you've seen out and about, like, he lives near you. You could.
Yeah.
You,
shit-faced.
Yeah, you could. You have potential to run into Peter Dinklage. The other, at one urinal stands Peter Dinklage, the handsome little person.
Very handsome.
At the other urinal, and this would have to be those low urinals or those floor ones. And I hate those floor ones because you get so much
floor splash ones. Off yeah, those. Floor ones, the you're worst. Getting shin splash, right?
Totally. At the other urinal is the little person from Bad Santa. I feel like that guy's name is Tony something. Guess what?
His last name is Cox.
Tony Cox. That's right. The great Tony Cox.
I looked it up. I was like, what is that Tony guy? Yeah, Tony Cox.
Bad Santa, by the way, one of my go-to Christmas movies.
Great.
Sort of underrated. Great, really, really funny movie.
Bad Santa 2?
Yeah.
I would say it's as good as a comedy sequel is, which is terrible.
It's tough to go back to that well a second time. The whole thing with comedy is, what's funny is being introduced to the characters, and once you know the characters, it's a lot more difficult to be funny. So I haven't seen Bad Santa 2.
It's one thing if it's Jason Bourne or James Bond. Right. Like, you could conceivably do another adventure with the same general idea, but comedy. Comedy is comedy. Like, it happens once, and then after that, it's just going to get worse. And Bad Santa 2 was worse.
Totally agree. Okay, so you step up to the urinal. Who's it going to be, Peter Dinklage or Tony Cox?
Well, I would point out that we're going to ignore the fact that maybe the description of the two guys was they were not described as little people. So I'm going to ignore that. I gave you the sanitized version of who they were. But anyway.
Yes.
Anyway.
I use the politically correct version.
Yes.
I don't use the archaic terms.
The message I got in Facebook Messenger was not little person.
I don't use the term that Mike Francesa would more likely than not use. I use the appropriate term, little person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got the name. We've got a lot going on. Tony Cox.
Yeah.
The dude is legendary. Like, he brings... I mean, Peter Dinklage is awesome. Yeah. And he's a good actor. He's handsome, all these
things. He's a handsome little person. He's probably got a very handsome dick.
I bet it's ham-esque. I bet it's very manicured and beautiful. But Tony Cox has a swagger in not only Bad Santa, Me, Myself, and Irene. He's awesome in that movie.
Oh yeah, he's the Sancho. He's cucking old Jim Carrey in that movie.
Yeah. And one of Jim Carrey's kids in that movie is named Shantae Jr.
Right. Yes,
because his name's Shantae. He's awesome in that. But he has just his acting style has a swagger that tells me. And his last name is Cox. Like, we're going with Tony Cox.
Interesting.
He's got a kickstand, for sure.
This is one of these you can't go wrong. I feel like I've discussed on this show, it might have been on the radio, the one time when I was much younger where I saw that Christmas-themed porno. And it had, and there was like one of Santa's elves was going around, like banging all the chicks, like coming down the chimney and like banging all the chicks in town on Christmas Eve. And I was shocked to discover that he would like a little. He's a little person, but he had like a normal to bigger than average size dong. And I think that I just assume, having seen that is the case for them. So it's kind of like Shaq. Like Shaq would need to have just the most massive dong in the world to look even normal on him because he's so huge. But the other way around. You just have a normal size, average size dong on a little guy, and that's a pretty good shower. You're like, hey, check this out, and proportionally, you're like, whoa, you are put together.
It looks like a baby's arm holding an apple.
Totally,
huge.
You can't go wrong there. I probably would go Dinklage only because he's more famous, and he's such a handsome little person that I would want to know, hey. Is this thing real smooth and shiny and like manicured? Like, does it keep it pretty nice? Does it look like the rest of him?
Yeah, you couldn't go wrong.
No, you couldn't.
I'm just saying, Cox has that swagger. There's something extra with him.
I might glance at Tony Cox, and as I'm glancing, I just put up the one finger the other way to Dinklage. Like, hold on, just don't put that thing away quite yet.
Keep it hot.
I'm going to need to check that. Just give me 2 seconds. I'm looking at Tony Cox over here. Great actor, character actor. And I'm going to swing back to yours in just a second.
Yeah, fair,
that's a great one. Steve Beninga, great supporter of the show.
Yes,
outstanding.
Absolutely.
Daily's Choice again. Let's play one of the older Daily's Choice. Let's play the Star Wars one. See if it hangs up. See if it holds up.
Holds up.
Yeah. Daily choice, pretty good. Also good.
What I love about these recordings is the thought that like his wife could like open up the door and see him recording this and be like, what?
Yeah. Honey, what are you doing? Can you turn on the grill? Like, can you get the steaks on the grill? Like, kids are getting hungry. Hold on, babe. I'm in the middle of recording a song about dicks for a podcast that I listen to.
Yeah. Who's the song for? Oh, it's this random guy in New Jersey that likes staring at penises. Oh, okay. Then that's totally fine.
So good. How about that one time he wrote about you not being able to transact a hand job? Do you remember that one?
No.
Because I have it here.
been alone with you for a long while.
It's really beautiful.
But you don't seem to get the things that's on my mind.
This Right to Bill has a nice voice.
He does.
To let my freak flag fly.
Not an easy song to sing.
And oh, is the thing I'm looking for. Can't you reach between my thighs? Are you really that senile? My pants are at my ankles and my cock's unoccupied. And I don't know what to say, 'cause you haven't got a clue.
Really going for it.
Help me cure this case of my balls blue.
Amazing.
That is breathtaking.
I think we gave that kind of short shrift the first time around.
That's really impressive.
It's so good. That is maybe the best thing he's ever done for this show. Unbelievable.
Okay. You know, friend of the program, Eli Braden. I was listening to a song he submitted to Stern this past week, and Stern cuts him off, like, you know, after 10 seconds. And I wanted to hear where the song was going, so I texted him. I was like, that's really good. And he's like, oh, I'll send you the rest. And it's amazing. So we need to recognize the great artists, and Right to Bill, one of the great artists.
Totally agree. Performing today. You can't do a parody song unless you have chops. It's like these bands, these cover bands, tribute acts they're called, that go around the country and they play like AC/DC or whatever, they Judas Priest or Van Halen, whatever, Pink Floyd, and they take them or leave them, whatever, but you can't do that unless you have tremendous musical talent. You have to have the ability to play those songs well to be able to do that. And I would say parody songs, it's even more difficult, because not only do you need the chops, but also you need to be able to write funny lyrics, which a lot of people don't do. They keep it like too close to the chorus of the original song.
Right.
And it's not funny that way. You have to come up with original lyrics that sound like the original song. And Rights of Bill can definitely do that. And of course, Eli Braden's a legend.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed, speaking of legends, I have not been paying attention to the San Francisco Giants this season, because last I checked, they were like 20 or maybe even 30 games under 500.
Yeah, they had like a off and on thing where every odd or even year, they were like winning the World Series.
They won three World Series.
They were great. Well, they're going through a miserable season right now. And so Fox Sports' Ken Rosenthal dug deep to find out.
He's 5'4". Ken Rosenthal, he says it in his Twitter bio. I'm 5'4".
Oh, he really is.
Yeah, he's 5'4", and he wears a bow tie.
Oh yeah, he's the bow tie guy.
Yeah, that's Ken Rosenthal. He's a great baseball writer. What's he got to say?
He's digging deep. Like, what's the problem? A lot of the players are the same, but they're going through team chemistry issues.
That happens.
So the team is terrible, and they're trying to figure out why, and they found someone to blame. And that would be former outfielder Angel Pagan. Now, apparently the team's too boring this year. And here's a quote. The team even misses Angel Pagan, who created an odd sort of unity because most of the players disliked him. Now, Brian, considering Pagan is currently unemployed, should he start brushing up his resume with the bullet point, "Was such a piece of shit that I unified a team into a World Series championship"?
Yes, that, you know how they say too objective or not objective, or they say like list your accomplishments on your resume. Like, that should be at the top of his like resume. That should be the lead, where it's like 3-time World Series champion, known to have
world class piece of shit.
Yeah, in hatred of me.
I did it. It was me.
Has there ever been like a less, like a more just middle of the road guy than Angel Pagan? Like, this, there's no one less memorable. He's just like any other middling center fielder that you remember. But now that you find out that the whole team hated him, it's kind of like, right. Oh yeah, Angel Pagan, whatever happened to that guy? What's he up to? You're not going to forget him now.
You kind of like think like almost in like wonderful like thoughts, like this guy must have been legendary for being such an asshole.
Well, also the Giants are the team that had Barry Bonds, and Barry Bonds was like allowed to have his own flat screen TV and his own recliner in the clubhouse, and he would skip the meetings, and he like had his own setup going, like he was basically his own on his own island. And even then, like no one really, right. I guess because he was hitting 70 home runs, you kind of let.
But yeah, like even when he was in Pittsburgh, everyone hated him. But like it was never like this. Angel Pagan, legendary asshole.
Yeah, bring him back. Bring back old Angel Pagan. Okay, what else is going on, Ed?
Okay, well, diehard Packers fan Ryan Holton Murphy got married recently and said it was a, quote, no-brainer to take his wife's last name. We're the Packer family now, he proudly told ABC News. His fiancée's name, Marie Packer. I grew up in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, where the Packers are the unofficial state religion, he told ABC News in January. Everyone from grandmothers to little kids are diehard fans, and we live and die with the team. Well, that seems a bit redundant when you say we're diehard fans. But anyway.
Well, I mean, when the second most popular sport in the state is ice fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Or skidooing.
So I'm going to drop some shocking facts. Holton Murphy even proposed while wearing a Green Bay jersey. I was wearing my favorite Aaron Rodgers jersey, and we were in a water tank at Shedd Aquarium in Chicago, and I arranged it with them to have the baby beluga whale bring over the ring in a waterproof box. Whoa. I was relieved he didn't try to eat it.
Wow.
Now, the two met at a karaoke bar, and the rest was history. Brian, two questions. How long do you give this marriage? And two, is there any chance this guy has friends?
There's three problems here. One, he's a public proposer.
Yes. Problematic.
Huge, huge, huge issue. Public proposal guy, worst. Guy that makes a show of his proposal, whether it's the scoreboard, whether it's having his buddy show up with an acoustic guitar at your favorite restaurant, or opening the waiter comes over and opens the cover, and then everybody breaks into song and there's a flash mob, whatever it is, any kind of public proposal, huge issue. Secondly, this guy is a public jersey wearer, and not only is he a public Green Bay Packers jersey wearer, he wore the jersey during his public proposal. Double whammy there. Thirdly,
wait, one little addendum to that. Yeah. He said one of his favorite Aaron Rodgers jerseys. One of them. How many does he have? The home, road, and alternate Aaron Rodgers jersey?
He wears one every day of the week for sure. And he's got like throwbacks, you know. He's got a few Favres out there. He's got a Magic.
He might have, yeah. Don, I was gonna say Magic, he might have Mikowski. A Don Mikowski.
Yeah, he's got the Lambo Leet Robert. Who's the guy?
Brooks.
I was gonna say Griffin. Is that a guy?
Well, that's RG3. Does he have James Lofton in the '80s?
Right.
What about? Remember when we were kids? The Packers were the worst. The two bays, yeah. Green Bay and Tampa Bay, were with the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Until, well, then they got Don Magic Man Mikowski, and they started coming around. They started getting some, like.
Yeah, his mullet. His
nine
mullet
and was sevens big. Going. Yeah. Yeah, he had a mullet, and then he was unseated by a young upstart Mississippian.
Southern Mississippi grad. Or third. Not grad. There's no way he graduated college.
Third red flag with this guy. Well, no, there's four, because he's taken his wife's name. He's taken his wife's name. That's off the board. One. But third, karaoke. Huge, huge red flag. If you've ever said this, hey, honey, what do you want to do tonight? Maybe some karaoke? You need to take a look in the mirror, okay? Because that is not an acceptable pastime for any red-blooded American male. You should be extremely embarrassed. If you ever get volunteered for karaoke or you ever get suckered in to going to karaoke, you should be extremely embarrassed and you should only participate with a vociferous opposition.
I will step in here in one circumstance. I've told this story on the podcast. My buddy, one of my good buddies, lives in Pittsburgh, and they have a karaoke / strip club called, or maybe like every Friday night is called Barrioke. So you can sing while strippers are stripping. So I think I did like Hall & Oates, She's Gone, while a stripper had to
You strip. Better learn how to play. Yeah. That's a hard song to sing, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see like a depressing song about a guy contemplating suicide, and you're watching some girl pivoting, trying to figure out how to strip to that. And the talent level is as bad as any strip club in America.
In the Berg.
Yeah, so I will always support Barrioke at the Tennyson Lounge in Pittsburgh.
You might get a pass there. Yeah. I feel like this marriage is in, they're in it for the long haul. I mean, if anybody that's that kind of maniac and the chick agrees to marry him, she's probably into that kind of guy. So
I don't remember if I said this, but I saw a picture of their wedding. Like, he was dressed like the Riddler with like every 2 inches on his tuxedo was a Packers logo.
Oh my God.
Like he's in case there was any gray area, he's the biggest loser in America.
Yeah, Packers theme tuxedo. That's a little much.
Huge loser.
Huge loser. I mean, it's okay. Hey, like your team. Just, you know, when the season's
life,
in.
Life is tough. Enjoy your sports. I get it.
When spring training's coming up or whatever, like, you can know the depth chart, I guess, if that's really important to you.
Yeah, you're fucking awful, though. Don't kid yourself. You're terrible.
I mean, just take it easy. There's a big world out there. Okay, what else is going on?
All right, let's stay in the NFC North.
Yeah.
So the Minnesota Vikings wrote a letter in support of wide receiver Michael Floyd. He had a defense motion arguing that he did not violate his probation, and the probation was caused by him being asleep at the wheel in like November, and then a couple months later. So anyway, so he didn't violate the probation by consuming alcohol because all the alcohol consumed was in a few bottles of kombucha, according to a report from the Pioneer Press. Vikings chief operating officer Kevin Warren wrote, "I am writing to request Mr. Floyd not have his court-mandated requirements negatively impact, as he did not know the kombucha he ingested contained alcohol. Nearly all of kombucha in the U.S. market is 0.5 ABV or lower, although the Vikings apparently have kombucha available on tap." Now, Brian, when you hear an excuse like this, are you inclined to believe Floyd, a guy who has a couple passed out behind the wheel arrests under his belt, or you believe Michael Floyd that night had 1,800 cups of kombucha?
Yeah, it's kind of like O'Doul's. It's like O'Doul's level alcohol kombucha.
Like, technically, you could get fucked up.
But it would take a lot. And they say that, like, vanilla ice cream has more alcohol in it than kombucha, or a ripe orange has more natural alcohol in it than kombucha. Kombucha, by the way, very good for you. Very good for the gut.
I've never had it. What is it? Like a green tea?
It's like a tea, but it's like it's probiotics. It's like a fungus that they make into a tea, and it has like a lot of live probiotics in it. Very good for your gut health. Very good for your evacuations. Just good all over. Really good for you. Everyone
just don't have 1,500 cups.
Yeah, just don't drink 100 of them on the golf course, you know, and you're fine. It's weird. The whole NFL thing is weird that they'll like stand up for guys. Like, of course they do, where they'll stand up for guys that like beat their girlfriend or wife or get, you know, have obvious alcohol problems like till the last minute. But if a guy smokes a little weed, it's a huge deal. Yeah. Who's the guy who's the guy on Cleveland that's like banned for life? Josh. Oh,
yeah. Like only weed. Yeah. Only weed positive tests. That's it. Right. Josh.
Josh. Okay. I want to say Childress.
Not Norman.
Yes, no. Come on.
Well, Josh.
We're like fucking sports experts here. I lean on you for sports information.
He's really good.
Yeah. Josh. Everyone's yelling it right now at their headphones, at their iPods. Yeah, it's kind of bullshit. Marijuana has actual...
Gordon.
Josh Gordon. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Marijuana has actual medicinal benefits and also has no negative benefits.
I like the sort of interview the Redskins tackle. Like, he talked about that he'll show up for every game. And then he got busted and had to serve a 4-game suspension for weed. And he's like, look, I'm either taking this or a bunch of shit that will ruin me. So you can be impressed by me not missing a game, but I'm using weed as my pain reliever.
We did a thing on some guy on the Seahawks that got in like a really bad car accident because he was fucking fucked up on synthetic weed.
Yeah.
It just he's smoking like some oregano with chemicals sprayed all over it, like bath salts. If he just had normal weed, was allowed to smoke normal weed, everything would be fine.
That last Auburn national championship team, all those guys got fucked up because they were taking that synthetic weed.
Yes,
they all got fucked up.
Yes, it's
everyone but Cam Newton was ruined by that.
It's such a weird double standard that like everyone except Jeff Sessions knows that weed is essentially harmless unless like somebody with a really bad addictive personality, of course, and can get addicted to things and it could be harmful to their life. Don't get me wrong. But in terms of just the actual effect of something, marijuana is fucking less than harmless. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Doing some of my liberal shit that we do on here.
Fucking snowflake.
Yeah, total. Scott, we're getting too political again. We're going to get a negative.
Another negative. What's that guy's name? J.W.? K.J.
K.O.C.?
Yeah. Well, let's just, you know, remind him he can please go fuck himself.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Seriously. Go listen to Glenn Beck. Does he still have a show? Ed, before we get into this, let's. Yep. I haven't played. I'm getting really into Rights of Bill's bumper music that he's played for us. Whereas we need this one. This one's my all time favorite. But the problem is, it gets stuck in your head.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
This really, really, really special.
I teared up.
Yeah. Ed, this is from your neck of the woods here. There's a guy in Manhattan. Oh, I think he's in Brooklyn. Called Ari Nagel. Oof. And this guy's a regular Peter North. He has a supreme output. And his sperm is supposedly in high demand. He's apparently sired at least 22 children with 18 different women.
Jesus. He doubled up Cromarty.
Yeah, via his donations at this sperm bank. And now, for whatever reason, women from all over the country are like, I want some of this dude's super sperm.
I want the off chance of my kid not knowing that he's about to fuck his sister.
Yes. Yeah, totally. According to Nagel, more than 100 of them across the country have deluged the Brooklynite's Facebook inbox with paternity pleas. Nagel, who says he's never denied a request, who has? Like, he's really high-fiving himself there. He's like, all right. is weeding through the ladies. He has a standard reply at the ready. Quote, I cut and paste. I'll do my best. I'll help you any way I can. The broody women the Post spoke to, who range from single to divorced to being in a committed relationship, and included lesbians and heterosexuals, have a variety. What about non-binary? Just leaving them out? Have a variety of reasons for desperately seeking the sperminator. Quote, he's definitely a blessing because he's doing the work for free. Said Sheila Killian, a 47-year-old custodial worker from Charlotte, North Carolina, whose graphic designer wife, Sukima, 40, hopes to get pregnant by Nagel. We work paycheck to paycheck. We don't have money for a sperm bank. He's willing to do it for free. I think it's amazing, says Patrice Anthony, a 31-year-old nurse's aide from New Orleans. Guys can run away if they hear you want a baby. So people all over the world are really after this guy's spunk. Ed, the question is beg, what's the most you've ever been offered for your cum?
I can honestly say I've never been offered even, like, I've never been asked for it. It's pretty much been offered.
Yes.
It's been offered. It's never been asked for.
Yeah, like, well, it's kind of like, hey, what do you, oh my God, video. It's kind of like, hey, like, what do you want me to do with this? Like, hey, I'm getting, this is going to happen.
Yeah, it's shortly. Coming.
Yeah.
Literally.
Like, what are you looking for me to
do? Where does this go?
Yeah. Apparently this guy's an academic. Ed Ari Nagel.
He looks. I'm looking. Two things. One, the New York Post is the worst.
Oh yeah.
For everything except for headlines, because no matter what news goes on, their headline is never going to be. It's always going to be slanted a certain way. Sure. Rupert Murdoch owns it, and he's got an agenda.
Yes,
but. This guy was on the front page this week, and the headline was "Great Balls of Sire." So
amazing, amazing.
They can bring the heat.
Also,
but
they call
this dude looks like the grown version of Paul Pfeiffer from the Wonder Years.
Totally, he's got sort of an ethnic look to him.
Now, it's one thing, as much as the world loves to bust balls is the wrong thing, but bust on Antonio Cromarty. At least that dude is spreading the seed of a world-class athlete.
It's true.
Like, there's a chance if you're one of Cromarty's dozen that, like, you're going to get highly paid for being an incredible athlete. Paul Pfeiffer, he can claim to be an academic. He looks like just a schlubby dude.
It is kind of weird, and I do like that they're calling him the Sperminator.
Yes.
Because he's just really, his sperm is just really active. It gets the job done. And I guess that's why he's so in demand. But I always assumed that it was like Harvard educated, Nordic ancestry, captain of the crew team. Like that was like what?
Like he's a Winklevoss.
Right. Yes. Like one of the Winklevi. Like it's like one of those. Like that's what people are looking for. It didn't like that. I wouldn't say this guy's a bad looking guy, but he's not like he wouldn't be the most handsome guy in the room. Yeah. So it is kind of shocking that he's been able to market himself like this. Now, if I were him, I'd be like, look, I'll help you any way I can, but you have to just accept my methods. And I don't, I know that these days that artificial insemination is the IVF, in vitro fertilization, right, is the preferred method. But I work old school, and I need to give you my donation in the proper method, the original method. It's like Antonin Scalia, RIP. He was an originalist. He could only interpret the Constitution from the 1760s. Sorry, right, that's when they wrote it. They didn't have the internet then. I'm an originalist. Well, that's this guy's the same way with his spunk. He's like, right,
I don't believe in Alexander Graham Bell. I believe in whatever happened before that.
That's right. That's right. So it's like, yes, I've been known to get a lot of chicks pregnant. So give me the window. So I'm going to need first class accommodations and a suite, and I'll come down and I'll make the deposit in the originalist manner.
Well, I like the story they talk about, like, you know, he's delivered it the natural way a couple times, but usually it's in a Target or Starbucks restroom.
Oh, he like meets you and gives it to you.
Yeah. No, he goes, like, he meets you, then he goes into the restroom, yeah, and gives you a warm sample, and then you go turkey baster. So I was thinking, like, these kids eventually ask, like, hey, you know, yeah, where do babies come from?
Where was I conceived?
Well, Johnny, when a man meets a woman, and that woman hands the man a Dixie cup in the Target right in front of the Pizza Hut window, and that man goes into the restroom and then gives mom a warm Dixie cup and a turkey baster, you're looking at magic.
Amazing. So good. Okay. What else do we have here? This is a big story this week. This popped off on Twitter. I think I made a tweet about it. And we should really have friend of the show, Lisa B., an actual Canadian, on to discuss this.
Yeah, she's an expert.
Because this whole story, this is from Canada, the downtown hotel in Dawson City is counting its fingers and toes, and there's at least one missing.
Uh-oh.
The Yukon Hotel's Sourdough Saloon is down one human toe after a patron boasted about and then followed through with stealing a mummified toe that is used in the saloon's infamous sour toe cocktail. Quote, "We are furious, eh?" said Terry Lee, the hotel's toe captain who performs the sourdough ceremony. "This guy asked, eh, to do the toe after the 9 to 11 toe time hours, and one of the new staff served it to him, eh, to be nice. And this is how he pays her back. What a lowlife, eh? Sorry." The cocktail involves downing a shot of whiskey that contains a human toe inside the glass. The drinker's lips must touch the toe.
Oh my God.
In order to be initiated into a club. In a statement, Lee said the man is from Quebec, and ask any Canadian. We have a lot of Canadian listeners. Clark in Calgary could probably speak to this. We have many Canadian listeners. Everybody in Canada hates Quebecois. They're not a fan.
Of course.
Quebec's always trying to secede. They think they're fucking French. They think they're better.
It's like in that Curb episode where Larry is talking about a hate crime against bald guys and the cops got the shaved head and he's like, I'm not offended. And he goes, no, we don't accept you. Yeah. That's Quebec people. Like,
that's right. That's it. Yes. Right.
You choose to be different. Like, no. Yeah. You're not Canadian.
Apparently,
you're Quebecian.
And apparently it gets worse. This guy had a French accent and had been bragging about possibly stealing the toe before he took the drink.
Oh, man.
So apparently, and I don't know if I cut and pasted this part of the story here, but apparently they this has happened before where somebody thought he'd be a real wise guy and he took the shot and he swallowed the fucking toe.
Oh, fucking monster.
So luckily, they had a backup toe.
What?
They had two toes at
that
time.
John Goodman? I can get you.
I get your toe. You need a toe. I'll get your toe. They would rotate the two toes. Well, this guy swallowed one. So they initiated, and at the time there was a $500 fine. So they're like, fuck that. So they, in typical Canadian fashion, they very politely upped the fine to $2,500, and they're like, next fucking guy that swallowed ain't gonna swallow the toe because he's gonna owe us $2,500. But now this guy's ripped it off, and they're gonna have to try to get it back. And the bar's like, also he owes us $2,500. So Ed, my question to you is this: the fuck is going on in Canada?
Canada is what Americans point to when shit goes bad.
Yeah,
you're like, well, at least we have Canada.
Yeah, look up there.
They've got it right
up there. Yeah.
They figured it out. They got Trudeau.
Yeah.
They've got weed. They have things that we can feel good about. When this kind of happens, like, it's tough because you just feel like you don't have an ally anymore.
No, it's like you were one of us. Canada, you were the mansion on the hill.
You're what we aspire to be, right? You're on the hill. Yeah. You're what we hope to be.
Yes.
You can't even keep a pickled toe.
Also, why did you have a pickled toe? There's pictures there's pictures of this fucking toe, and it is fucking disgusting. It's even grosser than you're picturing. If you haven't checked out the picture, check it out. I'll put it on our Facebook page.
You're more accepting of feet and toes than I am.
Yeah, you hate feet. You should be the most. Imagine, Ed.
What scenario are you doing drinking something where you have to touch a pickled toe?
Ed, would you rather do the sour toe shot at this bar in the Yukon? But you have to, not only does it touch your lips, you have to accept the toe into your mouth with the shot and then like swish around your shot of Jameson, drink down the Jameson, and then spit out the toe back into the glass. Jeez. Or every morning when you drop your kids off at school, have three 5-minute conversations with some of the dads that are also dropping off, or parents, could be a mom, but you have to pick three every morning and stop and have them have a 5-minute conversation with them and ask them about like what's going on with them and how everything's going and ask them about their kids and their family. And you have to do that three times every morning forever until both of your kids graduate
in perpetuity.
College. Yeah.
When you were presenting option A, yeah, I was prepared to say B. Like B, no matter what. Like if it was like, or live in Zimbabwe under Robert Mugabe, yeah, like I was okay with option B, but then you threw 3 5-minute. I'm sorry.
Every day.
I'm going to make love to that toe before I have conversations.
You're going to fuck the shit out of that toe.
No, I'm doing a lot with that toe.
The toe is super fucking gross.
And I just looked it up. It's the worst.
It's like, so I imagine like you go to that bar and you're like, I'll have a whiskey. And they're like, do you want to do the sour toe challenge? And you'd be like, what's this? And then they explain it to you. And you're like, no, no, thanks. Like, why would you, what's the win there? Like, oh, I did it. I got a fucking t-shirt. My name's on the wall at some bar in the fucking Yukon. Like, who's making it up to the goddamn Yukon?
Right. Nobody's looking at that and being impressed. Like, nobody's there. You're only doing it so you can have your lips brush against a dead toe.
Yes. That's awful. Just, I need more information on this from our, from the Canadian listeners out there. Clark. Gary.
It's the, Gord.
Well, there's, yeah, we probably have a Gord. Gar. Like, reach out, guys. And how do you guys feel about Quebec? Fuck Quebec, right? Might have to get Lisa Bizzle back on the show to discuss this.
Let's get her to weigh in.
Ed, it is time. Yep. Joining us now, everybody's favorite pop culture correspondent. She is the one that brings it, brings us the real news. You guys know I am talking about Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
I'm good. Okay. I'm doing my my dance that I do when my music comes on, which you guys can't see. It's very cool.
Well, we got to do that thing where we get a TriCaster and we put the show on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
People can watch us.
I don't know. Would you guys be into that?
No, of course they wouldn't.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to watch me.
They would love it. okay.
How's Ed going to get on it?
I don't know. It was
I'll just let you guys be on it.
last night when I was
I don't feel like anyone wants to see. I'm only on it for 10 minutes. Like, everyone wants to see you guys talking.
Last night Ed and I were casting, and I called him on the Skype, and I kind of looked away, and I must have hit the wrong button. I hit the video button, and he's like, "Hey," and I look over, and he's right there, and then we both realized that we could see each other.
It was creepy.
Yeah, super creepy. He dove towards his computer. He's like, "Oh no, what's going on?" Ah!
And Brian probably was shirtless.
No, like I'm Elephant Man. Like, I had to dive away. Like, no,
yeah,
I'm not an animal.
That would be me too.
Yeah, it was very, very
distressing.
It was a tough moment.
We've never seen each other. I'd like to keep it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, until we meet in person. I don't want video chats.
When are you guys going to meet? Or when are we all going to meet?
We'll all meet eventually, but it's not going to be over Skype video. No way.
We just got invited to go stay at a house in the Catskills, which would mean we would have to fly into
NYC. Oh, no, we can't afford that.
NYC.
Oh,
no,
we can't afford that.
Maybe take in a Broadway show. I could take you to Rent.
You would know the one. I mean, I would.
Brian's dying to see Hamilton, but.
You know I'm a huge.
Is it still really hard to get a ticket?
Huge Hamilton guy.
Why are you asking me like I would know?
And I feel
like
there's
all these.
We don't
need a leader. We need a world beater.
And there's so many Broadway ticket scams now. So easy to get scammed.
You know what? Guy. He goes.
Here's the scam. People buy tickets thinking they're going to be entertained.
Yes.
And they're not. They are not going to be entertained.
And yet, millions of people flock to Broadway.
The wrong people.
Regularly.
Not me.
People like blood sausage, too. That's just the way it goes.
Right. Okay. Here's a... let's do an email. We have an email and a voicemail to get to.
Oh, good.
Then we'll get to the real...
I love an email.
The actual news. First,
email. I like emails that are addressed to me solely.
Oh, this one isn't. And this one, this
I'll
one
still is, listen.
But I just want to involve you. Brian and Ed, what do you do when things are getting hot and heavy with your lady, but you feel the sudden urge to drop an epic deuce? Is there any way to remedy the situation without killing the romance?
Do I have
well,
to
who
listen
said
to
romance
this?
Is
it's
dead.
So gross.
Thanks. That's from Drew in West LA. That is an excellent question. Maybe we put that to Fancy. Kate, if you're like you and a dude, like you're really into this guy, you're dating.
Why wouldn't it be you?
I'll just picture it being a
regular. Everyone gets the answer.
Right. This anybody. And things are getting hot and heavy and you're like, you know each other. Maybe you've been intimate before, but you're not like close. Like you're not, you know, like maybe you've been on some dates. Got sexual one time. Maybe this is the second time you might have sex. And in the middle of it, he's like, he's making out with you. And he's like, oh, hey, just real quick. Can I use your bathroom? I have to take a shit. Would he then like, would the mood be killed? Or would you be like, oh yeah, no problem. Like go here. In this.
I'd be like, you can go home and use your own bathroom.
Yeah. So you're saying the mood would be killed. the mood would be destroyed.
Anyone
or does it depend if he's delivered? A
anyone yes. that delivered that information to me yes. the way that you just did yes. can go use their own bathroom okay. in their own home.
Hold on, Ed's got a good point. What if he's yeah. a loud
shitter? Is David Spade a loud shitter?
That's a good yeah. It's a good question. What if let's think of it another way? What if he's like over and oh no, you're at his place and he's like. Hey.
Something like this did happen to me. Do you want me to just tell the real story?
And he's like,
yeah, go for it.
Yeah, he's like, hey, hold on a second. And then he goes upstairs and then he's like gone for too long. And but you hear noises coming out. And then you yeah. hear like multiple flushes. And he leaves the fan on. When he comes down, you can hear the fan running. So it's obvious what he did. Would you be like
he treats it like a rest stop Tiger Mart.
Yes.
Like he just ruins it.
Would you be like, where were we? And you'd like want to get right back into it or no? What are your thoughts? Give us, take us through what you're thinking.
I don't think so.
You say no. Yeah.
I'm really trying to put myself in the place of really liking someone.
Tell us your firsthand story because Drew in West LA, this guy's got a fantastic question. All right, Drew.
So I was dating somebody who I won't name, obviously.
Right. I mean, only because he's not famous. If he were famous,
he ended up, okay.
Oh, no.
He ended up marrying someone. I'm not going to use any names.
Okay.
He ended up marrying somebody that is sort of famous.
Is this David Spade's assistant? Who was like, is this Skippy?
No.
Who was like 20 years older than him.
I will say this because I know who it is.
Is this the prime minister of France or president?
You just said he married someone who's sort of famous. He married someone that is very famous, that is a household name.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a well-known person.
But I'm not going to blow this person's spot up right now because I'm about to tell a story about him having the shits.
Okay, yeah.
So we were dating and he invited me over to his house and had either cooked dinner for me. Yeah. It might have even been a Valentine's Day situation. I think he had cooked some chicken breast on his George Foreman grill.
Were you like, this guy's a total cuck? He's making me Valentine's Day. George Foreman grill.
We were in our
20s. He's going all out.
We were in our 20s right. and like, you know.
I've been to Macy's dudes, and I don't care who knows.
A lot of dudes can't cook. He had gone to some kind of effort.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He had pressed some breasts.
Yeah.
And
he was getting ready to squeeze a couple more.
After dinner, you know, we're hanging out, having some wine, music was playing and stuff. And you know what?
What kind of music?
Actually, yeah, we'd had sushi. We'd ordered sushi.
It was the 90s, so
we'd ordered a lot of sushi.
Is this like Shaggy, Mr. Lover Lover?
I'm trying to remember.
Like, what is he playing?
Obviously, it was Smash Mouth.
And basically, we ate all the sushi, and then like half an hour later, he's like, had gone to the bathroom and had been a while, and came back and said, hey, sorry about this, but you're going to have to go home tonight.
Oh. That's the way to handle it.
And basically was like, we didn't need to get into specifics because we both knew what was happening.
Right.
But he was like, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Instead of Cupid, I was like, visited, you know what? By the diarrhea gods.
Totally cool. Yeah.
I was visited by Montezuma.
Catch you later.
Exactly. Some Valentine's Day. Very memorable Valentine's Day. Ed Daly, this is an interesting topic. I don't think there's a way to go and just leave go in the middle of a date or sexual situation. Like, you got to choose. You either hold on to it, keep it inside of you,
and for sure,
don't let off any of that residual.
Okay, this is enough. I'm not into like potty talk, bathroom talk.
I hate it. I hate it more than anyone. I'm the number one hater of potty talk.
This
guy wants life coaching.
Also, you don't want to hear, you don't want to hold on to it and hear the guy's like intense stomach noises because that's not sexy.
That's true. That is not sexy.
So I think it's like in a situation like that, it's probably time to just like call it a night.
Ed Daly.
Pick this up tomorrow, not in half an hour.
Ed Daly, give Drew some advice. What do you think Drew should do in this situation?
I gotta say, I am not short on awkward experiences, but that's never happened to me.
Yeah.
But my biggest question is, did we get an answer? Is David Spade a loud shitter?
Yes, yes.
Spade is way too weird to take a shit in someone else's house. No, I do remember, though, when my roommate was having sex with him,
dating.
She stayed at, she stayed at his house a few nights, and he had some weird bed situation. Like, he had a bed, he had two beds in his room, maybe. He had one bed that he fucked on and another bed that he slept in by himself.
I can tell you why.
Like, she slept in the bed they had sex in, and he moved to a separate bed that he slept in.
She got the wet spot and
I know.
He left.
No, I know why. He has some sort of neck problem.
I heard about that. He was a gymnast in high school.
Yeah.
And at the pep rally, he did a header on the gym floor.
Well, he hadn't bothered or didn't feel the need to explain that to this girl who was like so confused by the whole thing.
Well, that's just, you're kind of eccentric. Like, I'll be over there.
I love Spade, though. Yeah, he's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Hilarious.
Guy. Yes. Okay. That's not what we're talking about. Ed Daly, do you want to offer any advice? There's no way the romance is over. Just excuse yourself and say, let's pick this up another time. Something's coming.
Yeah, I think Kate's story pretty much was the best move. You're just like, it's over. It's not happening.
That's right. That is what you do. Okay, Drew, excellent email. Love. I'm not into the potty talk, but that's a legitimate life coaching question. Like, what do you do in that situation? I like the
subtlety of that email.
Yeah, it's I drop subtle. An epic deuce. Like, what's very, like, euphemized. I like that. Okay, quickly, we also have a voicemail to get into. Let's listen to this one. Hopefully, this one
beautiful.
Is a little more highbrow than the last one. Let's hear what's going on with this guy. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Brian, Ed, Nancy, one of your Patreon subscribers calling.
Quickly, this guy said he's a Patreon subscriber. He's a little tough to understand, but I want to make sure that's clear.
Do we know who this is?
He doesn't say his name, as far as I know.
Okay.
He's just saying, hey, I'm a Patreon subscriber.
Very cool. Okay.
So this guy's a hero. Okay, more.
Right. Oh, two or three tequilas into it on a Thursday night, so you know I'm doing good. But I had this revelation.
Revelation?
I was cooking food earlier, and I figured if my dick was 1 inch bigger, I could be Bobby Flay. Not that he's that big.
Hold on a second, because that might be the single greatest sentence ever uttered in the English language.
If my dick was 1 inch bigger, I could be Bobby Flay.
Well, yes. He was cooking earlier.
Yes. He was making some food earlier. He's had three shots of tequila, and he was thinking to himself while cooking, like, the bard himself could not have uttered a line.
Here's what I think. This is a window into a lot of guys' inner monologue with themselves.
Yes. If my dick was 1 inch bigger, I could be Bobby Flay. Okay, hold on. That's amazing. That's just maybe the most amazing thing I've ever heard. Let's see what else he has to say.
But I'm just thinking, if I was that big, I could probably be that confident and do that. So is there a point in life where you think confidence versus size of penis has prevented you from pursuing your dreams? Anyway, I was more coherent like a half hour ago, but it took me so long to figure out your number because it's sort of encrypted. But run through the mail.
Is it encrypted?
He said her number's encrypted. 949464. He had to figure out the TVLS. That is kind of hard sometimes, though, but I don't know that.
About the letters part.
Yes, it's encrypted. Okay, hold on.
See what you think. See, I don't know if with women it's breast size or height or lips or nails.
Talking to you.
But anyway, think about it. Let me know. All right? Love you guys. Love the podcast.
Love you.
What a nice message.
Yeah, I love you too. This is a great,
beautiful man.
ILU. I'm not sure what the question was, but it was something about like.
Okay, what he's saying is:
is there a dong too big to mess with?
Is there a correlation between dick size and confidence?
Therefore, success.
Yeah,
right?
And if you're more if you have a bigger dick, are you more confident and more apt to go out and chase your dreams of becoming a major league chef like Bobby Flay? Is there a female equivalent to that, beauty equivalent? What are your guys' thoughts, Ed? You can go first.
Well, I would obviously, I'd love to be packing a little more, but I do know the guy with the biggest dick I ever met was in high school, and he was dumb as a carp, and like I don't think he's really done that much in life.
Exactly.
Since then. So like I was envious, but at the same time his brain was garbage, so he didn't really go far in life.
It's so I think there is a correlation, but oftentimes it goes the opposite direction. Some of the most confident, out front people, successful people, just that I've known in my life, have been the least endowed. It's almost as if they overcompensate by having a big personality.
Wait, how do you know the size of these people's penises?
You see stuff.
You know. We know these things.
Yeah, just locker rooms.
But I would say an exception. John Hamm is packing, and he's talented.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There are definitely some dudes with big old hogs that are out there swinging them around. Feeling pretty good about
proud
themselves.
Proud of you, Hamm. Proud of you.
Also, guys with small dicks that overcompensate and are very confident. Kate, what are your thoughts?
It's weird. Some of the most beautiful girls I know are desperately insecure.
Yeah.
So the question
and lack
he had
a lot
in there,
of, real confidence. It's sort of a projected confidence, but it's not.
Yes.
It's not real.
Yes. Ed Daly, you were saying that's a good point.
The question he had, Kate, and I think it's interesting, is there a body part or is there something that a woman would have that would make her feel superior to woman?
Well, I think just the fact that so many women get breast augmentation, goes to show that like women that are flat chested don't feel sexy and they don't feel like they're looked at the same way that girls with like big boobs are looked at. And they want that kind of attention.
And they should. You're small, natural.
But not all. I mean, there are plenty of like successful women that are flatter and happy with it.
If you have smaller, natural,
but I do think that
breasts,
proud of you anyway.
I like you.
I think getting breast augmentation is just a product of sort of insecurity about your body more than anything.
Fascinating. Sure. Great.
So I think tits are the equivalent.
There you go.
Yeah, tits and dicks.
So
very interesting. You know. Excellent.
Proud of you, America.
Excellent voicemail. Anonymous voicemailer. Thank you for your Patreon subscription. Yeah. And thank you for reaching out to our encrypted phone number.
Yeah.
949-464-TBLS.
He cracked the code.
Bobby Flay.
Yeah, what up? And anybody out there with any firsthand information about the size of Bobby Flay's cock?
Are you going to give the real number or the encrypted one?
Please reach out to the show, 949-464-TBLS. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in Fancy Pop?
Okay, so I was just reading this story. It was a little confusing at first. Apparently, Bill Cosby, who we know was, there was a mistrial of sexual assault.
That's right.
Trial. He's got these spokespeople, Andrew Wyatt and Ebony W. Benson.
According to the jury, one of the jurors said that the victim was asking for it because she wore a crop top.
Yeah.
She cleared, so she showed
valid. She completely must, valid.
She fuck must yeah, America.
Have wanted to have sex.
Well, you know what? I put my crop top on. And I'm basically when I go to Trader Joe's in my crop top in the summer.
Yep.
I'm hoping to get some action.
All those managers in their hula shirts.
Maybe in my car.
Yeah, it's true.
Dude. Who knows? I mean, like we have a long way to go, people. A long way.
The patriarchy.
I think the last year has taught us that we have like maybe twice as long as we thought we had.
I mean, maybe
not
three
as
times
as we once imagined.
It's all too much. Okay. But anyway, so his spokespeople announced after the case ended in a mistrial that Bill Cosby, Mr. Cosby, would embark embark on a town hall tour across the country to educate young people on how to avoid being accused of sexual assault. Not how to avoid sexual assault, how to avoid being accused of sexual assault.
Yeah, accused.
That was a talk Theo and cockroaches just about.
And then, like,
you know, you're making sure they're asleep first.
Make sure you wear your Gordon Gottrail shirt.
I'm just going to go to him and say,
Rudy and Vanessa don't know when they're asleep.
Watched the Cosby Show, and that bullshit that you just did an impression of, I hate it so much, so much. Anyway, so a couple of days later, Wyatt, the same person who announced Cosby's plans on the air, released a statement on the comedian's behalf stating that the plans were a no-go. So I guess that's not going
to
happen.
Oh, bummer. Bummer. I would buy a ticket to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because totally normal. What you should do is just have the paddy wagon opened up so the guys that show up to figure out how to avoid the rape accusations just be like, all right, come on in here. We know you've already done shit.
Yes. Amazing. Okay. What else, Kate?
And this guy, Ebony Benson went on to note.
I'm going to guess that Ebony is a female.
I don't know. I'm guessing. Okay. Benson noted that the statutes of limitation are being extended for victims of sexual assault, explaining that this is why people need to be educated on, you know, a brush against the shoulder. Anything at this point can be considered sexual assault, mm-hmm. and it's a good thing to be educated about the laws. Yes, things like consent that we should be teaching in every school to children. These are things that they need to know and understand, and we don't teach it. And here we are.
Yeah, but there was a bare midriff. So, I mean, there was a totally not valid guilty. Case there.
Not guilty.
This was some of the courtroom dialogue. You were sitting by the fire. The room was dark. There was a nice mood. The lawyer asked, she was summarizing Constan's 2005 statement to police, and she said, I don't know what that means. The lights were dim and the fire was going, Argusa continued. I don't remember how dim the lights were, but I did have to eat my dinner. This kind of like idea that she was like sort of enjoying the
she wanted it.
Sexy environment.
Yeah. Yes. By the way,
I'd like to read all of the transcripts.
You can be on a
trial,
you can be on a date and still be raped.
Of course you can.
Like she may have gone there wanting to have sex. She didn't want to be drugged and raped against her will.
Which is weird.
Right.
Because I heard that's fun.
Oh, interesting.
No. Not according to the cause.
Yes.
Oh my god. All right. So
there's no such thing as rape.
Do you guys know who Johnny Galecki is? Are you aware of Johnny, actor Johnny Galecki?
Yes, I know who he is because
he's Rusty from Christmas Vacation.
That's right.
He was also the one of the daughter's boyfriends on Roseanne.
Right.
That's right.
That show ran for, I think, 8 or 9.
What was her name? Lesbian one?
I don't know which one he was the boyfriend of. Melissa Gilbert.
Yeah.
Jackie?
Melissa Gilbert's Jackie. Boyfriend.
I think Jackie was the sister.
Jackie was the sister.
Yeah, I never watched the show.
Me either.
And he's on a show that I've never seen, but is probably made $1 trillion.
This is my point about this Johnny Galecki. He's had two
Big Bang
very
Theory.
Successful sitcoms, and I believe the one he's on now, he makes 20 more than $20 million a year.
I don't know if I've met somebody who's watched that show, and it's
$20 million more than $20 million a year.
No, he makes more than $20 million a year.
Yeah,
for that
show, pretty crazy.
Not that doesn't even count syndication.
Like a couple of million dollars an episode or something.
Very.
Anyway, so he has a ranch.
Yeah.
In San Luis Obispo.
Gorgeous.
Burned to the ground.
Oh my god.
It's his.
Isn't that near the Madonna Inn?
It's like 109 miles.
I've been to the Jungle Room.
Well, you've been to the Madonna Inn.
Of course, I
have. Shut up.
So there was a big fire, and it burned to the ground.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. Gorgeous, gorgeous wine country. Untouched.
Yes. He just has a ranch that he just goes to get away.
I'd have a fuck off ranch too if I were that rich.
For sure.
He's probably got ranches all over the place.
He probably murders hobos up there. He's got so much money.
Yes. He plays the most dangerous game.
Here's a story about someone you love. Kelly Osbourne.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not. How dare you say that?
You're not a Kelly Osbourne
fan? I think she's dating a skater. A pro skater. I think I read that
somewhere. I think that's a pretty safe bet, no matter what the situation is.
That's true.
She attended a New York City Pride Parade this past Sunday.
Oh, that's cool.
And needed to use the restroom. Yeah. Went into a Starbucks in Chelsea, who she claims wouldn't let her use the bathroom, customers only situation.
Yeah.
Buy a fucking and latte. She went to Twitter and said, shame on you, Starbucks, hashtag piss my own pants in this location because your shameful employees refuse to let me use a toilet. I have piss in my shoes.
Did she pay for it or she?
I don't know. And they responded saying that they were trying to follow up with her because there was no restroom in the location that she went into. So I wasn't really sure what happened.
Here's the problem.
Apparently, she's an adult who pissed her pants.
I got to side with Starbucks on this one. And I don't like the world we live in. You can't, at least around here, you can't like stop at a gas station and take a piss because they're like, no, you can't go in. And the reason is because probably they used to let people take a piss in there until some junkie went in and shot himself up and fucking died there. Or some maniac hobo went in there and smeared his feces all over the walls. And now they don't let anybody go in there. And it's like that everywhere. Go on.
Yes, but sir. Also, I've been in New York, and Michelle had to warn me. I was about to go into New York on Sunday. And she's like, yeah, today's a pride parade. You don't want to do that.
Too crowded.
Anytime there's a parade or something, like it is so crowded that if you don't charge, you know, if you don't like limit it to just customers using the restroom, like you are ruined.
Yeah.
There's going to be feces piling up.
I'm super confused though, because if I need to use the restroom, I will give you $20.
Yeah.
Like, what's the problem?
I'll buy a latte.
I'll buy five lattes.
I don't drink.
What do you need? I need to pee. So
I would get an Americano.
Just or someone should just open like a space
that's
just like 50 restrooms and charge people money use them.
4 shots of espresso over ice. What we need is like what they have in Europe is those little like stalls on the street where you just go up and you just have a piss right there.
But you have to have exact change. That's the problem with those things.
Yeah, but still, Europe is a way more civilized.
Yeah, they get it over there.
For sure.
Civilization.
But they do ask you to have like exact change and nobody has change.
And it's like a pence. Let me do you have a shilling?
I need 70p to get in there.
Yeah, like, 70p. Quid. Do you have a quid?
As soon as they go credit card, now we're fully
involved. Quid's a dollar. You know that,
40
right?
quid. They're on the pound. All right,
moving out. A quid is a sort of slang for a pound.
It's like a buck. It's like a buck.
A quid.
Quid is just slang for money. 40,
how much is it to use this restroom? 40 quid.
Look at you mastering the Guy Ritchie lingo.
That would be a lot.
That'd be too much.
I don't think that would be worth it.
It's too much, right?
40 quid would be. That's about $58.
Ticket for peeing outside.
Yeah, I would just do that.
When Brian was in Indonesia with me and I told him he could just get out of the car and piss on the side of the road anywhere he wanted.
Yeah.
I was very excited.
It was exhilarating.
And he really did. That's
like pissing on ice cubes in a men's room.
What's that, Ed?
That's like as exciting as pissing on ice cubes in a men's room.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. I got out there and I swung it around like Bobby Flay. I like had it out. I exposed it to all the cars. All right,
I got a couple more stories.
Good for you.
I got three more stories to get through.
Okay.
So, according to TMZ, which is the source of most of my information, rapper Lil Kim has been named as a person of interest in a robbery that took place early this past Sunday in L.A. Mm. Apparently, Kim rented a house for a BET weekend party. The BET Awards were just on in L.A. She and her crew showed up to check out the digs, didn't like them, demanded their money back to no avail. Heated argument erupted. Someone called the cops. The cops left, citing that it was a civil dispute.
Yeah.
Later, a group of masked robbers showed up back at the house demanding a recompense. They eventually left with what they were looking for, Kim's deposit and a boatload of cash. Apparently, they made off with $20,000dollars total.
Oh, no.
The robbers also slashed everyone's tires and stole a single hubcap.
That's a bit much.
Hasn't Lil Kim already done time?
She is a gangster.
Yeah. She's been
locked up straight up.
Yeah.
I'd expect more from the one who rhymed come with 21.
Right?
Yeah, there you go, Ed.
Yeah. I thought she was a little more clever than that.
Yeah, unbelievable. I didn't know she was still around. She looks a mess.
She is like the Michael Jackson plastic surgery route.
Yes.
She's struggling.
This is a good story I want to move to.
Okay, let's move to it.
There were two things early 80s era Tom Cruise enjoyed, apparently, reading the Word of God and getting his knob slobbed.
Oh, this is a great story. Yeah. But this is according to Booger.
Curtis Booger Armstrong, who was Cruise's Risky Business co-star, has written an autobiography. Wait,
Booger.
The name Booger. Of it is Revenge of the Nerd, or .. The Singular Adventures of the Man Who Would Be Booger.
Unbelievable.
what a way to sum up a life.
Right, so Armstrong wrote that he'd often invite Cruise out for drinks after filming, only to have the star, his co-star decline, saying things like, "Got an early call tomorrow, got to work out, still study my lines," he'd say. "And then I like to read the Bible a little before bed."
Alert.
What a maniac.
And then this is an excerpt from Booger's book. "Returning late one night, I found three or four young girls, late teens, I suspect, lined up in the hall outside of Tom's room. I remember thinking, Tom's going to be really upset if these hot girls interfere with his Bible reading. So I asked them, with all the stern gravitas of my 28 years, if there was something I could do to help them. They just stared at me, and at that moment, Tom's door opened, and another girl came out, adjusting her hair and taking off down the hall, while the first girl in line slipped into Tom's room."
Wow. I mean, Tom's a real stud.
Nice work if you could get it.
Who could get it up for four blowjobs in a row? If I were Booger, I'd be like, who wants just blowjobs?
Yeah, there's got to be some shrapnel here, right?
This must have been pre-Mimi Rogers and her introducing Tom to
Scientology?
The delightful cult of Scientology. Wow. When he was a devout Catholic.
Mimi Rogers, she must have a lot of confidence because she has massive cans.
Okay.
I mean, shocked some that of the all-time
This is before Tom Cruise learned the truth that humans evolved from oysters, right? Isn't that the view?
Yes, they were deposited in volcanoes. I might be reaching out to Xenu if I needed the kind of power to be able to go four back-to-back sessions. Back-to-back-to-back-to-back. I'd be like, L. Ron, LRH, show me the way. Yeah.
Maybe that's what I've been missing all this time. Because I didn't know the quadruple back-to-back was possible. I just needed Xenu.
Yes, exactly.
Brian, you're so glib.
Let a little Xenu in.
I just blew my fourth load in a row. Now I'm going to read the Bible. Ha, 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 woo!
Oh, it hurts my ears.
Do you even know the history of Adderall?
Those rants were some of the highlights of Tom Cruise's career. Really. I'd like to go back and watch
that. That's why he's so successful.
Matt Lauer.
He's so nuts.
Interview.
I'm sure it's on YouTube. Okay. What else, Kate? Anything else?
All right. My last story involves possibly our favorite celebrity, Johnny Depp. Things are really heating up in the dispute between Johnny Depp and his former business managers, the management group TMG. So in legal docs filed by TMG, the former managers who he's suing, remember I talked about this last week?
We've talked about it a few times.
Alleged the actor was, quote, fully aware that he was illegally bringing his dogs to Australia.
I don't know if
you remember last year when he was still married to Amber Heard, who he most likely domestically abused.
Pistol and skunt.
What were those
boo.
Dumb?
Pistol and Boo.
Yorkshire Terriers, Boo and Pistol, yes. Took them on his private plane to Australia. And apparently he knew full well that that was against the law.
That Minister Barnaby Joyce sorted his fucking ass out.
In the filing, TMG claims that Depp falsely claimed to authorities and in public press interviews that the incident was a big misunderstanding because he supposedly believed his staff had obtained the necessary paperwork.
Then he made that video. Weird video.
And then when Depp was publicly confronted about this by the Australian authorities, Barnaby Joyce, TMG claims he, quote, pressured one of his long-term employees to take the fall.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
But that video was amazing.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but he and Amber were I guess part of their recompense was they had to make an apology video. And it went viral and it was very funny.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, oh, Johnny. You
know, here's the thing. The truthfulness is my dogs were named Pablo and Isaac, named after my favorite artist and my favorite member of the Love Boat. And now I must admit, I'm attached to those canines.
Australia is a wonderful...
A local villager from Bordeaux region of France taught me a little trick with peanut butter, and well, how could I resist taking the two little guys along for a shoot? I'm a dog guy, yeah. What can I say?
Wait, are you saying that, Johnny, would you put a little peanut butter on the end of old little Johnny there?
Well, let's just say little Isaac and Pablo did their work. I will say George Washington Carver would be proud of the work they did on my nuts.
Oh my God!
Fantastic. Here, let's watch that. Let's listen to that Johnny Depp apology.
Is this Barnaby or is this?
No, this is Johnny Depp's apology here.
Johnny.
Island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
This is his
ex-wife. It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. And you disrespect.
That's amazing. That's his real voice.
Yeah, he sounds like that.
I am truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared.
Boy, this Amber Heard is
protecting Australia.
Moping.
Yeah, she is.
Clearly everything when you enter Australia.
Oh.
So good. All right, Kate. Is that it? Is that everything?
That's it.
Okay. Excellent job all the way around. Thanks, Johnny Depp, for joining us. Guys, look
delightful.
Out.
Delightful appearance Thank by
you.
All of us.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Guys, look out for our Rocky IV special episode coming soon.
Oh, yeah. Very exciting.
Kate, what were your...
I might even listen to
what
that.
What were your thoughts about... You didn't participate in the episode, but you did watch a little bit of Rocky IV with me. What were your thoughts on that movie?
It was very realistic, right?
Yeah. It really was. Yeah. And people have said it was spectacularly corny. I didn't see anything corny about it. Right. I thought it was like a very... like authentic
look real looking
outfits look really down home, right?
Like a good like pullback of the Iron Curtain.
Did you like Johnny Depp's Rocky Balboa's wardrobe?
I did the movie. Yeah. And I like one of my favorite scenes was that really cool dance that Apollo Creed does, like, before his fight.
Coming to America?
Yeah, yeah. With James Brown.
No. Living in America.
Ha!
Yeah, that's great. That was, like, a real highlight for me.
He had an Uncle Sam hat on.
Good. No, Rocky had some pieces, which, you know, I'm going to, in all seriousness, might hit up eBay for.
Oh, his clothing. Yeah. I wanted pretty that amazing. One. I wanted that one when he was washing his car. Okay.
But that robot fucking sucked.
Oh, yeah, the robot. Okay, sucked. Guys. Look forward to that. We will be discussing that on a future episode. Until then, for a daily for Fancy Sauce, my name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining us for episode 175. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.